We begin the current daf Maseches Brachos, daf and Ches. We begin on the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf and one of the ideas which were mentioned in the beginning of our perek and the Mishnah that spoke about one of the brachas of Shvach and Aidah is that we thank Hashem for uprooting the so to speak, the Avodah Zarah and the kingdoms of evil amongst the world. And the last thing of the previous daf was speaking about Bavel, how it's accursed, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu cursed it and it was destroyed, and there was many different brachas one has to make when he sees Bavel. So the Gemara continues on this theme, that Amr Bimri ben Elazar, Niskala Bavel, Niskala Shechinah. When Babylon was cursed, its neighbors were cursed with it. And that's like the famous concept of Eil Rosh, Eil Shechinah, woe to the evil one, woe to his neighbor, that those who are next to the evil one get punished with it. Niskala Shemrei, Nisbarchu Shechinah. But when Samaria, which when Eretz Yisrael got cursed, then its neighbors got blessed. As the Gemara explains, Niskala Bavel, Niskala Shechinah, where do we find that Bavel was cursed and its neighbors were cursed with it? The Chesiva says in the Pasuk, for some Tia Lemoirish Kapid, and that I made it, in other words, Bavel, into an estate of wild birds, for Agme Mayim, and pools of water, and that is the whole area was desolate and it caused even almost worse things to be, because it was wild animals in there which were harmful to the neighbors of Bavel. However, Niskala Shemrain, Nisbarchu Shechinah, but when Shemron got cursed, then its neighbors got blessed. The Chesiva says in the Pasuk, V'samti Shemron la'ayah ha'sadah, and I will make Shemron into a heap in the fields. L'mitte kerem, the planting for the vineyards, v'gerem, etc. And that is that this was a blessing for those which were around the neighbors around the cities of Israel, because now they were able to use it, and it was fertile, and they were able to use it to grow things. So we see the difference between Rishayim, that when they get cursed, it's terrible for everybody, but versus Eretz Yisrael, that although they got cursed, it was good for all the neighbors. Another statement that the Gemara brings about different brachas, which we mentioned regarding the Shvach and Aidah, that a person sees something, is if Amrav Amnuna Haraya Uchlasa Yisrael, if someone sees the multitudes of Klal Yisrael, that is, if he sees a great amount, a large army, so to speak, of Klal Yisrael, which is 600,000 Jews, Ayma Baruch Chacham Harazim, he makes the bracha of Hashem should be blessed, that he's the sage of the secrets. And that is, he knows what's the secret in everybody's heart, and only Hashem knows that. And that is, although there's so many different types of people, he knows what everyone is thinking. So he's the sage of the secret, so to speak. Uchlasa abdu kachavim. And if he sees a multitude of idol worshippers, then Omer busha imchem begam. He says the pasuk, which talks about that your mother will be embarrassed. In other words, a derogatory pasuk. Because imagine how many of these people that are not doing the right things. So Tan Rabban, we learn the brayis explaining these brachas. Haraya uchlasa Yisrael. Whoever sees the multitudes of Jews, makes the bracha of Hashem is blessed that he's the sage of the secrets. And the Gemara explains this reason of this bracha. Because their minds are not the same. They all have different thoughts. And their faces are not compared one to the other. And that is, in spite of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everybody exactly as he is. And therefore, that's the unbelievable thing in 600,000, because that's always, so to speak, the kalalius, which was the amount which Klal Yisrael were when they were by Har Sinai. That's the amount of that we always give in that picture, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of the whole Klal of Yisrael, that he knows everyone's thoughts in their hearts. So the Gemara brings an illustration of this, that Ben Zayma Ra Uchlasa Agav Ma'ila Bahar Bayis. Ben Zayma, he saw a multitude of Jews when he was standing on the step in Har Bayis, which was overlooking, so to speak, Yerushalayim. So Ayma, he said two brachas. Baruch Hacham Arazim. Hashem is blessed that he's the sage of the secrets, because he saw all these, when you make a bracha, when you see the multitudes of Jews. Well, Baruch, and he made another bracha. Shebaruch al Eilu L'Sham Sheni, that he created all these people to serve me. And that is, all these people, they plow and they sow, and it's, everything is prepared for me without my hard work. And the Gemara says that Hu Hayayma, he would always say the following statement, which was an unbelievable insight into the world and the way he appreciated, which is related to the second bracha that he would make. Imagine how much work and effort and toil Adam Arishan, the first man, had to put in until he had a piece of bread to eat. He had to be charash, he had to plow, vizara and sow, v'katzer and reap, v'omar and gather, v'dash and thresh, v'zara and winnow, v'bar and select, v'tachan and grind, v'hirkat and sift, v'lash and knead, v'afa and bake. And one would recognize all these different malachas, which are the malachas we have by Shabbos, because that's the malachas of creating a piece of bread. The achachachal, and only then, after he would do all these work, then he could eat, because he's the only one there working. But Ben Zayma says, "Vani mashkim, I get up in the morning, and I find all these prepared. Imagine you can go into the grocery store and find a piece of bread. Imagine you know how much work it takes to go into it, and you have all these people working for you. Moreover, he says similarly, "V'kami yigias yoga on marishin." Imagine how much work and effort Adam Rishon had to put in until he found an article of clothing to put on. Gazas, he had to shear, v'loban, and to clean it, v'nipitz, and disentangle it, v'tava, and that it should be spun, v'arag, and to weave it, v'achkach matzah beged l'ilbash, and then only then can he have clothing to wear. And that's also from the Melachas of Shabbos, which the Melachas of Shabbos is split into three different departments, one of food, one of clothing, one of housing. So imagine how much work you have to put in to get a piece of clothing. I go into a clothing store, whatever it is, people selling, and they're all prepared for me. Imagine, I don't have to do all that work. Incredible how much chesed there is. Hashem made all the people of the world to serve me, so to speak. And that's how everyone's supposed to look at the world. Everything for you. And he said more. He said, all the nations, they're diligent, and they come to the entryway of my house. And I get up and I find all these things in front of me. That's because he was a wealthy person. And everyone would come to him to sell their merchandise. And imagine, he didn't have to do any work. It's all there and all prepared for him. He also used to say the following statement. What does a good guest say? So he says, and again, this is related to his philosophy, which we see from the previous Gemara, a certain way of looking at the world. Said, imagine how much effort and toil the host did for me. How much meat he brought in front of me. How much wine he brought in front of me. Look how many rolls he put in front of me. And whatever effort he put in was only for me. Again, that's a beautiful perspective, and the same thing relates to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the world and reality about looking at it and appreciating it. It's like it's all for me. Imagine how much I have to be appreciative of it. What does a bad guest say? And again, obviously, the people are, so to speak, guests in this world too. What type of effort did the host put in for me? What, I ate one piece of bread. I ate one piece of meat. I drank one cup of wine. Whatever effort the host, the owner of this house, put in, he only did it for his wife, for his kids, not for me. So he follows through and says, "Al ma'arim." So what does it say about such a person that's a good guest? The pasuk says, "Zechur to remember kisaski fully, to extol his work." In other words, he talks about how great everything is that was done for him. Asher anashim that people see. Al raksib. What does it say about a bad guest? L'chein yiru'uhu anashim agayma. Therefore, men will fear him. And that is as the pasuk ends in Eve. L'amazayin chavdalud lo yira kochach milev. He won't see all the wise of heart. This person doesn't see it, doesn't even see all the goodness and the kindness done for him. He says, "Oh, what am I doing already? What am I taking already?" The Gemara continues on this theme of Uchlasin, about the multitudes of Klal Yisrael, that it says in the Pasuk, "V'ish," and the man, B'mei Shaul, in the days of Shaul, was Zakin Baba Nashim, he was an elderly person, that he came with many men. So, who's this Ish? Amar Rav, V'tem Rav Zvid, V'tem Rav Aisha, Ze Yishai Avi David. That was Yishai, who was the father of David. So what does it mean that he's Bob Anashim that he came with men? That he would go out with a multitude of men. In other words, the whole entourage. He would come in with a multitude and he would lecture with a multitude. He always had many people that wanted to be next to him because he was a big tzaddik. Amar Ula. So Ula qualifies what exactly, when do we have this bracha of uchlasa? So in the Ketinan, we have a tradition, ein uchlasa b'bavel. There is no such bracha of Chacham HaRazim, which is made on when you see multitudes of Jews, when it's in Bavel. Tana, similarly we learned that Enuchlasa B'chus Mishishim Ribay, that to make a bracha on the multitudes of Jews is not less than 600,000 Jews. So Tana Rabban, we learned the Braisa, other brachas similar to these types of brachas. Haroi Chachmi Yisrael, someone that sees the wise men of Klal Yisrael. So Ema Baruch Shechalak Michachmas L'Rev, he makes the bracha that Hashem should be blessed, that he split off, so to speak, from his wisdom to those who fear him. And that is that it's, so to speak, mamish, a part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he was cholak, and it's to those who fear him, not to the wise men, because we know that in Klal Yisrael, to get any wisdom of Torah, one must have Yirah Shemayim. Chachmei Ebedei Kechavim, I remember when he sees the wise men of the idol worshippers, then he says, Baruch Shenasa Michachmas L'Briyasa. We see the change in the terminology that he gives. It's not cholak, it's not a part, so to speak, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He gives from his wisdom to his creations. And that is, they're not the ones who fear Hashem, obviously. And another girsa that the Vilna Gaon brings down is Labas of Adam. Either way, it's to flesh and blood or to creatures, not to those who fear him. Then another contrast, Horoya Malchi Yisrael, one who sees the kings of the Jews, Oima, another similar type of phrase, Baruch Shechalak Mikvoy Delirev, that Hashem should be blessed that again he split off from his honor, which is the kingdom, to those who fear him. Versus Malchi Abdi Kechavim, Oima, when he sees the kings of the idol worshippers, then he says, Baruch Shenasan Mikvoy Delirev Yosef, that Hashem should be blessed that he gave from his honor to his creatures, or again to Basav Adam. So Amar B'yechanes, Rabbi Yechanes says, that although there's this difference between in the brachas between the kings of the Jews and the kings of the idol worshippers, la'olam yishtadel adam loritz lekras malchus. So a person should always attempt, he should always make an effort to go and run towards the Jewish kings, to see them. Lekras malchus sol bavad, and not just to the Jewish kings, elafil lekras malchus oiv dikachavim, but even for the non-Jewish kings, for the idol worshippers. What would be the purpose of seeing the idol worshipper kings? Shem Yiske, because if he merits, and that if he merits to come to the world to come, and he'll see in the honor of the Melech HaMashiach, then Yavchen bin Malchi Yisrael and Malchi Avdikam, then he'll be able to differentiate how much greater will be the honor than for those that take the reward of the mitzvahs, which will be the Jewish kings, than the non-Jewish kings who, they're, although they, so to speak, have pomp and ceremony and honor in this world, it won't be anything compared to the world to come. And we know the power of contrast always makes something more greater, like a candle in a dark room. So therefore, it's preferable to see the non-Jewish kings to appreciate how much more is going to be the honor of the Jewish kings when Mashiach comes. The Gemara continues with this halacha about regarding the covet of malachim, the honor for kings, that Rav Sheshes and Sagi Nar Havam, Rav Sheshes was blind. So the whole nation was going, everyone was going to greet the king. But come also by that, he went together with them to greet the king. As we brought down in the Gemara, that it's something preferable to do. Rav Sheshes Ashkech Ahu Tzeduk, Rav Sheshes met up with this Tzeduki, who were always troublesome for the Talmid Chacham. They denied the Torah Shabbat Peh and Olam Haba. So Amalei Chatzvi L'Nahari, so the Tzeduki told Rav Sheshes, I understand that whole pitchers go to the river. And that is to go ahead and draw water. Kagni lai, but a broken pitcher, where are they going? In other words, why would they go to the river if nothing could come up with it anyway? In other words, he was referring to Rav Sheshes, you too, you're blind, you can't see, so what's the purpose to go ahead to see the kings? So Amalei, so Rav Sheshes told him, Tochazi, you go ahead and see, and obviously there's, I don't know if a pun in this is intended, but go and see, I know more than you. And then I'm going to know better than you when the king is here. Cholav gunda kamaisa. So the first troops came and they went. Kikoavsha, when they made a loud noise, Amalei hahut stuki asamakas stuki tolev sheshes. So he's blind, he can't tell anyway. Hey, the king is coming. Amalei sheshes loy. Sheshes, no, the king is not coming. Kaasi cholav gunda tinyanis. So then came a second troop of battalions. Kikoavsha, Amalei hahut stuki hashlik asamakas. So when there was a loud noise, the stuki told Rav Sheshes, now the king is coming. Amalei sheshes loy kaasamakas. Rav Sheshes told him, no, the king is not coming now. Cholav tlisai. Then a third troop came by. Kikashaske, so when it was quiet, Amalei Sheshes vadi hashta asimalkas. Rav Sheshes told the Tzeduki, now for sure the king is coming. So Amalei hu Tzeduki menolacha, so the Tzeduki asked him, how do you know this? You're blind and you don't, how do you know these things? So Amalei de machusa de arake machusa de rikia, that the royalty of the earth is a reflection of the royalty of heaven. Tachsiva says in the pasuk regarding the royalty of heaven, it says, Tzeva madata bahar lefnei Hashem, go out and stand in front of the mountain in front of Hashem. Vina Hashem oiv and Hashem will pass. V'ruach g'day levachazig mefar karm u'mishabes lom lefnei Hashem. And then the great wind, the strong one, will totally uproot the mountains and break the rocks that are in front of Hashem. But loy b'ruach Hashem, Hashem is not in the wind. And v'acha ruach rash, and after the wind will be a quake, loy b'rash Hashem, Hashem is not in the quake. V'acha harash eish, and after the quake is a fire. But loy b'eish Hashem, Hashem is not in the fire. But for Achar Eish, after the fire, after these three great troops, so to speak, coming, called Mamadaka, then will be a thin and still voice. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. And that is after these three battalions, which made a loud pomp and noise, then came the thin still sound, then Rav Sheshes knew that the king was coming. So Kiyasa Malko, so when the king came, Pasuk Rav Sheshes, Sheshes opened up, become a Varchla, and he made the bracha on the king. So the Tzeduki told him, for someone that you don't see, you're making a bracha? So then the Gemara says, "My have Allah the Hutzduki, what happened to that Tzeduki? Obviously, bothering a big tzaddik, something's going to happen. that his friends painted his eyes, which is a euphemism for saying that they poked out his eyes. And Ve'ikadami, some say Rav Sheshes Nasan Enav Ba'iv Nasa Gashat Tzames, Rav Sheshes, so to speak, placed his eye on him, which we're talking about eyes they can't even see, and he turned into a sack of bones. And that is what happened because of his bothering a big tzaddik. Gemara continues on this theme about having covered for malchus, for royalty. Rav Shila Nagde Lahu Gavra Debal Mitzvahs. Rav Shila, he gave malchus, he gave lashes to this individual that had a relation with a non-Jewish woman. So he went and he, so to speak, what's called winking by the king, which is, again, the euphemism for, so to speak, saying Lashon Hara, for slandering against him at the kingdom. And he said, so he went and slandered him and says, there's a person in the Jewish people that judges law cases without permission from the kingdom. And that is, he gave me lashes. So they sent to Reb Shila, they sent him an emissary. Kiyasa, when they came, Amr Lay, they said to him, Mat time in Nagat Lahai, what's the reason that you gave lashes to this individual? You're not allowed to, you can't rule where the rule is. So Amalahu debach amarta, because he had intercourse with a donkey. So Amr Lay, Islach Sahadi, do you have tests? Do you have witnesses for this? Amalahu in, he says, yes. And Asiliyo, Idamali ki inish of Asid. Siliyo Hanavi came and he so to speak, came in the form of a person, and he gave testimony that this person cohabited with a donkey. Amr Levi said to him, to Rav Shila, Ihachi bar katalahu. If that's the case, he deserves to be killed. Someone that's having intercourse with a donkey, bestiality, he should be killed. Amr Lahu, so he said to them, Anan miyema de galinin ma'arin, leslan reshus lemikta. He says, us Jewish rulers, from the days that we were, so to speak, sent into exile from our land, we don't have permission to kill anymore. But Atun might be Isa Navid Debe, but you're the rulers. You what you want to do, you do to him. Adme Aini Beidina, so in the meantime, when they were looking into the court case to see what to do with this person, Pasuk Reb Shila V'Amar, Reb Shila opened up and he said the following Pasuk. And that is, Locha Hashem HaGadula V'Agavur, to you Hashem is the greatness and the strength. And the entire Pasuk, which the Gemara is going to darshan later, is V'HaTiferes, and the splendor of V'HaNetzach, and the Netzach is the triumph, and the beauty, ki choba shemayim v'aretz, because everything that's in heaven and earth, locha Hashem hamamlocha, to you Hashem is the kingdom, v'amasnase and control, lochoy l'roish, to everyone, to every head. So he started saying this pasuk. So Amr Lehi Ma'akam, they said, what are you saying? They saw that he was, so to speak, praying. So Amr Lehi Hocha came in and says, this is what I'm saying. Says the reason why I'm saying this pasuk, that to you Hashem is greatness and strength, is that I was, so to speak, blessing the God that he gave a royalty on this earth, which is similar to the royalty that's on heaven, that he gave you control to rule, and that you are merciful in your din, in your judgment, that you love justice. And that's why you're looking into this case, you're taking your time, you're looking at it in the proper way. And that's why I'm thanking God. So Amru Chaviva Leah Yikud de Machusa Kulahai, they said, this guy, it's so precious to him, the royalty of our kingdom, our laws, so much. In other words, they were bringing him because they thought he doesn't appreciate it and he's doing his own laws. Now they say why he really appreciates it so much. So Yavile Kulva, so they gave him a stick, a staff to, so to speak, to use as ruler and to control the people. Amru Leah, they said to him, Don Dina, you could go ahead and judge laws. And you're, so to speak, part of us. Kiavanafik, so when he was leaving, Amaleha Hu Gavra, so that person, that's Duki, said to Reb Shila, Avud Rachman and Isha Lashakre? Does God make miracles for lies? Huh? Hashem sent Eliyahu HaNavi to lie for you? That's not true. I didn't cohabit with a donkey. So Hachi Amale, this is what he said to him. Rasha, evil one, Lav Chamikri, aren't the non-Jews called a donkey? The Chsiba says in the Pasik, Asher Besar Chamarim Besarim, that the flesh of donkeys is their flesh. So he saw that he started going back into the courtroom, that he's going to tell them that, hey, he's calling you donkeys. Amr Hayraidu, he said, this guy's a pursuer. He's out to kill me. And the Torah says, that someone comes to kill you, you should get up and kill him. As the Pasuk says, that if the Ganav is coming and digging under your house, that since he's coming to kill you, because he knows that if you're going to see him and that he's digging under your house, you're not going to just let him take your money, and he's coming with that intent, that if you're going to come, he's going to kill you. So the Torah says, you get up and kill him first. So therefore, Machi Bakul Vakali hit him with that stick that they had just given him and he killed him. So Amar Hoyles Avali Nisus, he says, once a miracle was done for me, Bahai Kroa, with this pasuk that I started saying, that then they gave me the stick and I was saved. Dershinale, let me go ahead and expound this pasuk, and let me have a deeper appreciation of this pasuk. Lucha Hashem Agadula, to you Hashem is the greatness. Zu Maisa Vereshus, that's a reference to Maisa Vereshus, which that is, the world was created with Gedula, with Chesed. That's what Gedula is, and that's the greatness, the unbelievable world, the cosmos, and everything. That's Maisa Vereshus. That's what the Pasuk says. They made greatness that's beyond comprehension, that anyone that thinks about this world and the planets and unbelievable, that's Hashem, how great you are, that's Maisa Vereshus. That's the creation of the world. Vagavura, and your might. Zu Yitzis Mitzrayim, that is the redemption that he took out the Jews from the most mightiful civilization ever to set foot on earth. Shenemah, it says in the Pasuk, V'yar Yisrael, that it says that the Jewish people saw Hashem's strength, great hand, and that is Gevurah, that it was Hashem's might, so to speak, from his hand. That's a reference to Yitzis Mitzrayim. V'hatiferes, and splendor. That's a reference to the sun and the moon that stood still for Yeshua. And that was a tferis, it was a splendor to the whole world that they saw what Hashem had for Klal Yisrael. Shenemah, like it says in the Pasuk, V'yidoim HaShemesh, that the sun stood still, V'yireich Amad, and the moon stopped, and therefore that was a tferis. V'hanetzach, and what's the triumph? Zuma Palosta Sharemi, that's the downfall of Rome. And that's what the Pasuk says. That it spurted out their lifeblood on my garments. That's a reference to the triumph over the evil kingdom of Rome. The Hahoid, and the glory. That is the Muhammad, the war by the canyons of Arnon, which the previous Gemara we had learned says that there was a certain miracle that happened, that these two mountains, so to speak, met each other and killed all the Amorites that were trying to kill the Jews. And that was, they said Shira then, and Hoidah, that's Hoy, that's glory, that's related to the word Hoidah, of giving thanks to Hashem. Shneimer, like it says in the Pasuk, Al-Kein Yo'amar B'Seifel Mechames Hashem, and that's why it was said in the books of the wars of Hashem, that Es V'Hev B'Sufa V'Gaymer, that is, as the Gemara with their Darshans, that Es and Hev were two Mitzaram that were in the back of the Jewish camp, and they're the ones that saw the blood dripping out, and they told the Jews, look at this great miracle that happened, and that's when they said Shira, that was the Hoidah, that's the glory. And the pasuk continues, "Kichol b'shemayim ba'aretz," because everything that's in heaven and earth, "Zumachem es Sisra," that's a reference to the war of Sisra, which was with Devira and Barak. Shneim, like it says in the pasuk, that they won him on both in the ear, so to speak, and on the ground. I mean, "Shemayim nilchemu," that from heaven they fought the war. "Hakachavim siloisim," the stars from their courses of agreement, and of course on the earth, that the actual people won the war. "Locha Hashem hamamlocha," to Hashem is the kingship. Zul Mechemes Amalek, that is a reference to the war against Amalek. V'chenu'ayim, that we see that Hashem's kingship is dependent on vanquishing Amalek. As it says, Ki Yod Al Kizka, because there's a hand in Hashem's throne, and that is that it says about that Hashem's Kisei, which is a reference to his Malchus, it says, Ki Yod Al Kizka, that in other words, through the Mechama that Hashem has in Amalek, his throne will be elevated. That's a reference to Hashem's kingship. V'ames Nase, and sovereignty. Zul Mechemes Gog and Magog, that's the reference to the war of Gog and Magog, which will come right before the end of the world. And that's what the Pasuk says, Hidni Alecha Gog, behold, I am against you, Gog. Nasi Roish Meshach Vesubal, that is the leader of Meshach and Suval. And that is that Misnase, the sovereignty, is a lashon of Nasius. And it's Mashma that on the Nasi of the Roish, in other words, the leader, that's Gog, who is the leader of Magog. And that's why it's a reference that's Hashem's sovereignty when he, so to speak, can vanquish the sovereign leader of the entire opposition. And L'chol Reish, and the Pasuk concludes that over every leader, it's a reference to even the irrigation supervisor, that min shemayim anula, that from heaven, that they appoint him, and that is over every head, over anyone that's, so to speak, a manager, something over people, that he's being elevated, that was decreed, and it's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from Hashem. And that's what it says, L'chol Reish, over every leader, even someone that's the head of any little, camp or whatever, that's, again, that's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the Brisa, we learned, Mishmeder B'Kiva, in the name of B'Kiva, a different interpretation of this Pasuk. V'cha Hashem Agdul, to you Hashem is the greatness, Zukriyas Yam, so that's a reference to the splitting of the sea. V'agavur and the might Zumak is B'chayr, that was the killing of the firstborn. V'atiferes and the splendor Zumak and Torah, that was the giving of the Torah. V'anetzach and the triumph Zu Yushalayim, that's a reference to Yushalayim. V'ahoid and the splendor and the glory Zu Beis HaMikdash, that's a reference to the Beis HaMikdash. So those are two different interpretations of this unbelievable pasuk that talks about all the different midas, the spheres of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whether that's a reference to different phenomena that happen throughout the world or regarding specifically the time from when Klai Yisrael left Mitzrayim coming into Eretz Yisrael to the Beis HaMikdash. We'll continue on to Amud Beis. So the Gemara continues on the theme of this parak, which are brachas of Shvach and Adah, of different thanks and greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tan Rabban, Haraya Bati Yisrael B'Yishuvim, someone that sees the houses of Jews when they're in their settlements, when they're settled. So, Ema Baruch Matzev Gvul Amonah. So you make the bracha that Hashem should be blessed, that He establishes the boundary of the widow. And that is, although that we're not, so to speak, with Hashem as so to speak, a husband and wife because of the Chorban. So, for example, let's say in the times of the second Beis HaMikdash, that where already wasn't exactly as it used to be, but that He establishes the boundary of the widow, that again, that she could come back home. But in the times of its destruction, he says, Baruch Dynamis, that Hashem is the true judge. But the Abdi Kechav Miyishuvan, if someone sees the houses of idol worshippers when they're settled, so he says, Beis Geyim Yisach Hashem, he says the Pasig, that the house of the arrogant Hashem should uproot. And when he sees the house of idol worshippers in their destruction, then he says, Kel Nekomas Hashem, Kel Nekomas Efiya, that a God of vengeance, a God of vengeance, Hashem, should He appears, and that is that He takes revenge against the idol worshippers. So the Gemara brings a story related to this about the houses of the Jews and its destruction. That Ulav Rav Chizda v'Kaazli Baruch, they were going on the road. Kimata Pischa de Beir Chana Bar Chanila, when they came by the entryway of the house of Chana Bar Chanila, he nogged Rav Chizda v'Asnach. He sighed and he gave like a krecht. So Amalei Ula Maiko Masnachis, why are you sighing? But Rav says, a sigh, it breaks half the body of a person. As it says in the pasuk, "Va'ata ben Adam he'onech," and you, the son of man, that sighs, that groans, "b'shivrin misnayim," it's the shattering of the loins, which is by the halfway of the body that we see a groan and sighing is harmful to the body. And Rabbi Yechonam af kol gufa shalom. Rabbi Yechonam says even the entire body of the person breaks down with anxiety and the sighing and the krechting of the person. Shenema, like it says in the pasuk, "V'hoyu ki yemri lecha amat anenach." And when it's going to be that they're going to ask you, "Why are you sighing?" V'amarta el shmu ki bo, because you're going to say about the news that you heard. V'namas kalev, and then it melts the whole heart, which you see that the whole body, which is from the lifeblood, the sources from the heart, that the entire heart melts. Sees that these sighing and this depression, it goes ahead and ruins the entire body. So how could I not sigh? If it's such a house that had 60 bakers by day, and 60 bakers at night, and they would bake for whoever needed, and never took his hands out of his pocket, because he thought that maybe it's going to be that a poor person will come, the son of good people. By the time I put my hand in my pocket, in my wallet, to go ahead and give him money, he's going to be embarrassed, and he's not going to be there anymore. So he wanted to always be prepared. Like some people have dollars prepared in their front row when someone comes knocking on the door. And he had all four entryways to his house, to the four directions of the world. Whoever came in hungry would leave satisfied. He would throw out of his house wheat and barley in the hunger years outside. That is the Cholman Chsifa Milsa Lemishka B'mama. Also, that whoever is embarrassed to come during the day and, so to speak, get tzedakah will come at night when no one's seeing and collect the wheat and the barley. And hash the nafal betalav leyesnach. Now that it fell into a heap of rubble, I'm not going to groan. Samalei Hachem Rabbi Yechonon. So he said to him, "This is what Rabbi Yechonon said." From the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, there was decreed a gzera that the houses of the righteous should be destroyed. Shnemad says in the pasuk, "Ba'oznai, in my ears, Hashem Tzavakas, Hashem says, Im loibatim rabim l'shamo yiyu, that if not, that for the great house that will be desolate, g'doylim etoivim ayin yeshav, they will be great and good ones that will be without inhabitants. In other words, that the houses of the tzaddikim, the great ones, will be destroyed. And for Amr Rabbi Yechon, it said that Asar HaKadosh Baruch Hu lachzirin liyishuv, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will ultimately return them to their inhabited state. In other words, we see that he was trying to console him. Shenema, as it says, Shir HaMalis, that a song of ascents, that HaBoitchim BaHashem Kehartzi, and that they trust in Hashem like the mountain of Tzion. What does that mean, they trust in Him like the mountain of Tzion? The Mahar Tzion, just like the mountain of Tzion. Asar HaKadosh Baruch Hu lachzir liyishuv, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will ultimately return it to its settlement. So to the house of the righteous, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will ultimately bring it back to its settlement. So this was what he was telling him, trying to, so to speak, console him, that he was sighing and he was all depressed about it. So Chazid Lemiyashiv Dadi, he saw that it wasn't consoling him, that it wasn't becoming settled in his mind. So Amalei, he says, Dayala Evachik Rabbi, enough that it should be that the servant should be like the master. In other words, why you krechzing? Obviously it's a thing that, so to speak, that they destroyed. But the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's house. So if the master's house was destroyed, the slave, the servant should not be any less. And therefore, obviously, we can't krechz more than we do over the Churban Beis Hamikdash. The Gemara continues with similar types of brachas. Tanan Rabban, Haroi Kivri Yisrael, someone sees the graves of Jews. Oime Baruch Asher Yotzer Eschem, but then he says that Hashem should be blessed that He formed you in justice, in judgment. Bizan Eschem Bedin, and He fed you with justice. V'chilkel eschem medin, and He sustained you with justice. V'asav eschem medin, He gathered you in with justice. V'asav la'kimchem medin, and He's ultimately going to stand you up in justice. And that's the bracha one goes when he sees a Jewish cemetery, Jewish graves. Ma'abered ravina v'sayim b'mishmet rav Nachman, that he would end that bracha with the following terminology. V'yidea mespar kolchem, and He knows the number of all of you. And He's going to ultimately bring you back to life. And to sustain you. Baruch Mechaya HaMesim, blessed is the one that brings the dead back to life. Kivri Evdei Kachavim, what's the blessing when one sees the graves of idol worshippers? Oymer says a similar bracha that you make when you see the multitudes of the idol worshippers. Boisha Imchem Agoymer, that your mother is embarrassed. In other words, you're just an embarrassment for your mother. Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, someone that sees his friend after 30 days. You make a shechiyanu, that blessed is Hashem that has kept us alive and sustained us, and we have reached this day, that so to speak, after 30 days, he's happy to see him. But Tosfos says from the Ri that this is necessarily a friend that's very precious to him, but any other type of friend would not merit that bracha of making a shechiyanu, of that joy of seeing him after 30 days, always that zman of like, it's a newness. So then you would make a shechiyanu. La'acha yod beis chadosh, after 12 months, and that's why this halacha was brought over here, Oymer Baruch Mechayim Mason makes a similar bracha that we mentioned by the graves of the Jews, that blessed is Hashem that brings back to life those that are dead. And as the Gemara explains, that why after 12 months do you make this bracha? Because Amar Rav, Ein ha'meis mishtakech min alev, ila acha shnei masa chadosh. A similar type of halacha, which is related to this, that the dead person that has just passed away is not forgotten from one's heart, from those who are mourning him or her, only after 12 months. Shneimar says in the pasuk, Nishkachti kemeis milev, that I've been forgotten like a dead person from the heart. Hiyisi kechli oved, that I have become like a vessel that is lost. And that is a regular vessel that after 12 months is forgotten. People forget about it. You a bike that got lost or whatever it is. Because yish of the owners that they give up on their property after 12 months. And in Perkei Lemetzias it says that whoever finds a vessel or any lost item, it has to call it out for the Shalosh Hagam, the three Yom Tovim. And if it's found after Sukkot, he has to wait and then call it on Pesach and then the Shavuos and Sukkot, which are 12 months, and then he doesn't have to call it anymore. So we see that Yish is after 12 months. So we see that the comparison of the dead being forgotten from the heart is like a lost vessel. So we see that's after 12 months. And similarly, if you didn't see your friend in 12 months, one will also make the bracha of Baruch Mechayim Esim, which is also because that at least one Rosh Hashanah has passed since then, and possibly he was decreed to die, and the fact that he's still alive, you make a Baruch Mechayim Esim. So the Gemara brings a story related to this. Rav Papa of Rav Huna Beredia Beshua of Ka'azli Borucha, they were once going on the road. Pogubei Rav Chanina Beredia Vika, they met up with Rav Chanina, the son of Rav Vika. Amrulei, they said to him, B'hadi d'chazinach brachina lach tarti. They said, now that we see you, we're going to make two brachas. One, Baruch HaShecholik Mechachmasi L'Rev. One is the bracha that we mentioned when you see a Talmud Chacham, you have to make that Hashem should be blessed that he has split off from his wisdom to those who fear him. B'shachiyon HaShachiyonim, because this was after 30 days that they had not seen him. So he said to them,
Now that I see you two, you are considered to me, the two of you, like 600,000 of the Jews. I'm going to make on you three brachas. The two brachas that you made on me. And the third one, the bracha chamarazim, and the bracha that Hashem should be blessed, that he's the sage of the secrets. And that is because he compares them like 600,000 people. As we know, like Moshe Rabbeinu was shakal k'neged kol klal Yisrael, he was equal to whole klal Yisrael. So he was, so to speak, and saying, the two of you are like 600,000 Jews to me, and I'm going to make that bracha. So Amalei, they said to him, Chakim et kuli hai, are you such a, so to speak, like an oibu chacham? Are you so smart? What are you doing saying there were like 600,000 people? Yehavi b'yanai v'shachav, they placed their eyes on him, and he passed away because it was a bracha l'vatala. Although it's a nice drasha that you made, but you should not have made that bracha, and therefore he passed away. So Gemara continues with other brachas. Amr b'shu ben Levi, harayas havakonim, someone that sees those who are spotted. In other words, they have these types of, so to speak, freakish type of freckles. Ayma baruch mishana b'ris, he makes the bracha that Hashem should be blessed, that he diversifies his creatures. In other words, a very interesting type of a person. Maisri, the Gemara asks, it seems to be that those hafakonim, those spotted people, have a different bracha. As we learned in the Brice, ra es akushi, if someone sees the black people, these are people that are very, very black. Vesa gicher, and the red people. Again, they're very, very red. Vesa lavkan, and the white people, which is, again, they're ultra, ultra, ultra white. Vesa kipeach, and the obese people, which is that their stomach is very large because of their thickness or their height looks like it's chopped down. That's the word kipech, which is chopped down because they're so wide that they look like they're almost chopped down. So, vesa nanus, and the dwarf, vesa drnikis, and someone that has these abnormalities on them, which is like warts or like a cleft lip. Ayma baruch mishanas b'ris, makes the bracha, Hashem diversifies his creatures. Esa kiteya, if you see someone that has his hands are amputated, besa suma, and the blind person, ves besuya heroish, and someone that his head is matted down, in other words, his hairs are all attached to each other, besa chiger, and someone that has his legs amputated, besa mukashchin, is someone that's smitten with boils, ves havakonim, and those who are spotted, oima baruch dayan emes, he makes the bracha, Hashem should be blessed, he's the true judge, and although these people have, so to speak, these handicaps, but so to speak, Hashem is the true judge and he knows what he's doing, so to speak. So what's the bracha on the havakonim? On the spot, is it baruch dynamis like this Bryce just said? Or is it mishan habriyas? So the Gemara says, loy kasha, depends. One is talking about that this person was like that from the womb, that he was born like that. And one is talking about after he was born, then that thing happened to him. Then you get the bracha baruch dynamis, because then, so to speak, there was divine intervention to change that. So the spotted person, if he was born like that, you make baruch mishan habriyas. But if it happened later in life, then you make the bracha baruch dynamis. Hashem is the true judge that this thing was, so to speak, deserving to happen to this person. The Gemara says that it happens to be a meduktik like this, that it seems to be exacting that should be the pshat. The Tani, because we learned dumi dikitei shmamino, that we see in that brisa that we put havakon together with kitei, someone that was amputated, which we see that happened later on in life, it's not that he was born like that. So therefore we see that those things are items which happen later in life, then the havakon, then the spotted people get a baruch dayna emes. But if he's born like that, then we said that's the brach of mishan habriyas. The Gemara brings other halo, other brachas like this. Turn up on, we learn the bright, so really a pill. If someone sees an elephant, or a kaif, a monkey, a kof, or an owl, and that is that they have these types of cheeks like men, like people, like humans. Ayma baruch mishan ha-sabris, you make the bracha of Hashem, diversifies his creatures because they look very different. Rab bris taiva is to be lonas taiva. Someone sees beautiful creatures, or beautiful trees. Ayma, he makes the bracha, baruch shekocheloi ba'lomi, Hashem should be blessed that he made such things in his world. And we thank him for these beautiful things that are beautiful to look at. Now we return to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah spoke about many different types of brachas of Shvach HaNadah, and it said that on Zikin we make the bracha of Shekoich Gros HaMayim, that his might and his strength fills the world. So the Gemara is my Zikin. So there's a few different pshat. Amar Shmuel, it's Koichva Deshavet. It's a star that's like a rod. In other words, it's a star that comes out like a lightning rod in the sky, it goes from one place to another, that it's long like a rod, which is like shot out, and it looks like it's opening up in the sky, which is like a meteor. So the Gemara says, Shmuel said, Kishvil de Nadar. Shmuel gave this pshat of what Zikin is, and Shmuel comments, he says that it's clear to me the paths of heaven, which means he knows the cosmos, like the paths in Nadar where he lived, he knew it, like the streets in the part of the world where he lived. Levar mikoich v'deshavet lay down in my knee. He says, besides this star of the Ra, this meter, which I don't know what it is. In other words, I don't have the full understanding of it, although I know everything else that goes on in the cosmos. But v'gmi, we have a tradition, the lay over kisla, that this, so to speak, this meteor, this rod of the star that shoots out, that it doesn't pass through kisla, that there's a mazel of ksil, and that is this, it does not pass through it. V'i over kisla charav alma, and if this, so to speak, this shivt koich v'deshavit, if it would pass through kisla, the whole world would be destroyed. So the Gemara asked, but v'kach sinda aver, we see that it does pass. We can see with our instruments that this koich v'deshavet, this star that's like a rod, that it passes through kisla. So the Gemara answers, no, zivehu de aver. It's only the glow of the koich v'deshavet that passes through kisla. U'mischazi k'd aver here, and it looks like it goes through, but it doesn't really go through. Rav Huna b'Reidi of Yeshua, Rav Huna, the son of Yeshua, says that he gives a different pshat in what Zikin is. And he doesn't say it's Koich v'deshavet, but he says, Vilan hu de mikara, says that what happens is that it's splitting through Vilan, and Umechzi nahoyru de Rikia, and then it's visible to see the sky of Rikia, and that is there's seven firmaments up in Shemayim. And when it rips through V-line, then it seems like that we can see the Rekia, the next firmament, so to speak. And it seems like a spear ripping through it. And then we can see the Rekia, which is above V-line. That's what happens. That's what Koich v'deshavet is. And when we see that, that's called Zikin. And then we make the Baruch HaShem Koich v'deshavet Malayalam. So now the Gemara returns to what we said before, that we had the question, if Shmuel said that this koich v'deshavet, this star that's like a rod that shoots through the heaven, does not pass through kisla, because if it were, the world would be destroyed. So the Gemara asked, but we do see it goes through. So one pshat the Gemara gave was that it doesn't pass through, it's just that its glow passes through. Now the Gemara gives a different teretz. It's Rav Ashi, and Rav Ashi says, koich v'hu da'okim mihaigis the kisla. What happens is that a star is uprooted from this side of kisla, from that the outside of the constellation of Kisla. And what happens is that his friend star sees him, again, obviously this is metaphorical, sees it from the other side, and he becomes afraid. And it looks like it passed through. And that is, we see one, so to speak, disappearing, and it goes away. And then the other one shakes over there, so it looks like that he passed through to the other side, but really it's just his friend shaking from the fact that he disappeared. As the Gemara says, Umechzi kamandav, and therefore looks like he passed through. Now the Gemara returns to this concept about speaking about the mazel of one of the constellations of Ksil. So Shmuel Rami, Shmuel posed a contradiction. Ksiv, on the one hand, it says in the Pasuk, Oysa Ash, that he makes Ash, the reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ksil and Ksil. V'kima and Kima, so we see that the Pasuk puts first Ksil before it puts the constellation of Kima. On the other hand, we have a pasuk that says Oisa Kima Uchsil, that he makes Kima and Ksil, and there it goes in the reverse order. So Haketzad. So the Gemara says that really they're equal, and that's why one place it says one first and the other one first, to tell you that Il Moli Chamak Shal Ksil Lo Neskaim Oylem Imneitzin Shal Kima. If not for the heat of the mazel of Ksil, the world would not be able to survive because of the coldness of Kima. And if not for the coldness of Kima, the world would not be able to be sustained because of the heat of Ksil. And that is, the Ksil rules in the summer months, and that's why the Pasuk puts it first. Kima rules in the winter months, and that's why the Pasuk places it first, and that's why we know that planet Earth is the perfect planet, that everything has to be exacting as it is, as it exactly is, the distance, the 93 million miles it is from the sun, and as all the different conditions that are known to be, that we have to be exacting, that if we have this, it would be too cold, too hot, and all the other planets in the entire galaxy, none has it as only planet Earth does. And that's what the Gemara is saying. That's why he puts one first and one to the other, to tell you that it would be impossible, the conditions, if not for exacting how HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it, to have this one to counter that one, and everything works in perfect harmony. So the Gemara says, we have a tradition also related to this, that ilav ukta de akriva, that if not for the tail of the scorpion, which is the kima that we're talking about, and that is the scorpion is kima, and it's from the mazel of Telev, the ram of Aries. And if not for the tail of the scorpion, the manach bin har dinar, that it was, if it wasn't placed in the stream of fire, which was, so to speak, that it, so to speak, weakens the power of the scorpion, of that constellation, then kol man dahav etrika le'akrava, whoever would be bitten by a scorpion, le'havachai, he wouldn't live. That's the, so to speak, the physical manifestation of that constellation. Even this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told to Eve. Hasakasher madanis kima, could you tie the bonds of kima, in other words, because it's so cold? Or the shackles of ksil, can you loosen them because of the heat? In other words, right, we know that cold comes together, that's how things freeze, that's what it says, could you tie it? And we know that heat, so to speak, manifests itself and it comes out separate, and that's, so to speak, loosening the shackles. Can you do these great things? Well, who do you think you are? You have to have an appreciation of the difference between you and me, the Creator. So the Gemara says, my kima, what? Why do we call this mazel kima? So amashmul kimeya kreichve. It comes from the word of that it looks like 100 stars. And that's kima kimeya. It's like 100, that there's like these many stars in the constellation of kima, which is it's the strength, the core strength of this constellation. So amrle, some say demechanfe. Some say that it has this strength because they're gathered together. Amrle demevajim, some say it has it because they're scattered. But either way, that's why it's called kima, because it's like 100. My ush. What is Ash, this constellation that we mentioned in the pasuk before? I'm Rabbi Yehuda Yoise, it's Yoise, my Yoise. Amri La Znav Tla. Some say it's a reference to the tail of the ram of Aries. V'Amri La Risha Deglan, some say it's the head of the bull of the Taurus. And that is because the head of the bull, which is the mazel of Shar, it comes right after the mazel of Tla of the ram. And that is the head of the bull is right next to the tail of the ram, and that's the order. It goes the ram, then goes the bull, then goes the tu'umim. So therefore, that's the machlok is about where is this yais exactly. It's right there in that area, but is it part of the head of the bull or is it part of the tail of the ram? So the Gemara says, "Mistaber kamandam is navtalan." It would make sense to say like the one who says that it's the tail of the ram. Now why is that? The chsib, because it says in the pasuk, the Ayish al Beneho Tankim, that Ayish, which is a reference to this constellation, on its sons, could you comfort her? So what it says, and this is what it says, is Al Mechas, as we see that it's missing something, that it has to be comforted. Umeschazia, and that we know that it appears, and then we continue on to the top of Nun Tesem and Aleph, Kitar for the Tarf, like it was beaten, in other words, to like close the gap, because it was like, we know that something that's missing, that you want to bang it together so that it could close up. And that is, as the Gemara explains, behind the Ozlabasa, this, that the Ayish, which is the tail, goes after Kima, which is the main body of the Tle. Again, we know that this is where it is. It's towards the end, and it's between the bull and the ram, but it's the actual tail of the ram. So this, that Ayish, the tail, goes after Kima, which is the main body of the ram. Why is it going after it? The Amrullah, because it's telling her, Havli Bana, give me my sons, which are my two stars. That is, it's missing, and that's why it's like beaten till I close up that gap, that it's missing two of its stars. And that is why we're trying to say that it was that it's the Ayish is the part of the tail, not part of the head of the bull. And that is as the Gemara explains. Shebeshosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu bikish lehevi mabalim, because at the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to bring a flood to the world in the times of Noach, he took out two stars from Kima, and that brought the Mabel to the world, which came out of the heavens. And when they wanted to close it up, so he took two stars from Ayish, and that's how he plugged up the hole. So the Gemara says, and that's why it's missing it, and that's why it's always chasing Kima to say, give me two stars, because I need to close up my tail, I need to close up the hole. So the Gemara asks, well, why didn't Hashem just return to her the two stars that he took from her? So the Gemara answers, "Ein habar mismalim mechul yasay." This is a similar phrase which was said in a different Gemara when David HaMelech told the kings, told the leaders of the Jewish nation when they wanted them to to have find panasa for them, find them jobs. He says, oh, go ahead, do business with each other. So that they answer in the same phraseology that the pit cannot be filled up with its own earth. In other words, when you take out something and you end up putting it back, it never has the same consistency to be able to fill it exactly. And that's why you needed to put in two new stars. Inami, or also, inkateger nasa saneger. The one who is the prosecutor cannot become the defendant. Once it was used to bring a mabul, it can't be brought back to, so to speak, keep the world alive. So the nigmar of a livery law trekach be'achrina. So let Hashem at least just create two new stars. And why does it have to go around missing stars? So the Gemara answers, in kol chadosh tachas Hashemesh. As the pasuk says, there's nothing new under the sun. Hashem doesn't make anything new once the world was created. So Amar Reb Nachman, but Reb Nachman says, Aser Kadosh Baruch Hu lachzirin laha Kadosh Baruch Hu will ultimately return the two stars to the tail of the ram of Aries. Shanema, it says in the pasuk, Ve'ayish abanecha tenachim, that Ayish on its sons will be comforted, will be consoled. And that's the idea that ultimately Kadosh Baruch Hu will end up returning. And that's why it makes more sense to say, like the Manda Amar, that it's part of the tail of the ram, as we brought this whole illustration, that it's missing the two stars from its tail, rather than being the, as like the other Manda Amar says, that's from the head of the bull, which comes right behind it in the constellations.